Good morning. Welcome to Hollywood United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you're here worshiping with us in person and online. This morning, Pastor Kathy is on a well-deserved vacation Sunday, and we are so blessed to be receiving the word this morning in his first sermon in our pulpit. Our ministerial associate, Devin Jones, will be preaching. You're in store for a fantastic service, beautiful music, moments of prayer and inspiration. We're super glad that you're here, and I'm glad to share this Sunday with you. Welcome to church.
Assurance, Jesus is mine. I invite all the young ones to come on up to the steps to join us before we head out to Children's Church. Today, everybody wishes they were in children's ministry because we get to go to the gym, which is a beautifully air-conditioned building in the space. So, ha ha ha, join us in children's ministry and serve with us, and you would have the pleasure of that as well. So, I try never to talk about school too early. And it's I know, I'm sorry, Gabriel. It is July, so that you still have weeks, you still have days. I'm sorry, you don't want me to talk about it. Okay, so let's talk about school? Okay. Ezekiel told me I could talk about school. We do something every year to help other people prepare for school. What do we do as a church? Tell me, Maddie.
Backpack donations.
So we have just started today, and you brought some of these backpacks. Which one did you pick out? Was that the one? Very, very nice. So today we actually started, so it was perfect that you brought these. Backpack donations. Who do these backpacks go to? Ezekiel, you've been here for years. Who do we give these backpacks to?
The people.
The people.
Yeah. It's technically true.
It is true. You are right. Gabriel, do you know who the backpacks go to? You've been here for years as well. Okay, it is people. It is people who have the need for a backpack and school supplies. We partner with the Los Angeles Unified School District, and they find families who are having housing instability, who maybe don't have extra funds to get backpacks and school supplies. So that is why those are the people that we partner with to give them. So you can bring your backpacks in. You could bring a pad of paper, pencils, anything that you need when you're out shopping for your school supplies. Pick up some extra and bring them to our church, and we'll be collecting them the entire month of August while you're still on vacation and not in school, okay? For those of you who are not here today and watching at home, you want to be here next week. Next week is our Water Day extravaganza. We're gonna be getting wet, wear your swimsuits. We not only have one super slide, we have two slides this year. We're gonna have water balloons and kiddie pools, and then we have a big church picnic in the gym. So it is just gonna be a great day. So be here next week. All right, let's pray, and we'll head off to our air-conditioned children's church. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for vacation and for fun and relaxation and just the enjoyment of a break. And I pray that each of these days could go slow before school begins, that the children that are here and the youth and the ones that are watching at home may enjoy just the rest and the time to be with family and friends. Thank you for our church's commitment to helping those in need. Pray that lots of backpacks and school supplies will come in the next several months so we can show families in this community that as Christians we love. We love because you have loved us. So thank you for that, and thank you for this day. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. As we're going to actually go this way, right in that back hallway, right to the gym, and I invite the rest of you to stand and pass God's love and peace to one another.
Peace be with you. And peace. Let's throw some peace signs up to the balcony, to our wonderful crew that makes our service possible, and all our friends watching from home. As was mentioned, it can be warm in here, so we do encourage you to greedily sit near the fans. And if you need water, there's water in the narthex. Take care of your needs. There's also more air-conditioned spaces, which Devin will share with you a little bit later during the announcements. But we're super glad that you're here. I invite you now to take a deep breath and to center yourself and to prepare for a time of shared prayer led there by our wonderful choir.
Hear us, we pray. Keep us safe.
Heavenly Parent, thank you for new beginnings and holy moments, for the time when your spirit inbreaks into a lost world, usually when we least expect it, revealing new truths and reminding us of ancient ones. Let your spirit fill us. Let it wash over us. Let it dissuade our doubts and bring to us new life. Let your spirit bless us with creativity. Open us to new ways of knowing and experiencing the gospel. Help us to become those who can share its truth and its liberating power with others. God, help us to free our own church, the church world, from ideas of what it must be to what it could be, and who we are becoming always as an evolving people of faith. We are grateful for the way the Spirit moves in our lives, and especially in moments when we don't see it, we know that you are always with us. This morning, we lift up to you our brothers and sisters who are most vulnerable to the high heat that we are experiencing here in California and across the country. We pray for the unhoused, the elderly, the sick, and children. We pray for adequate shelter. We pray for real change. And God, we pray that you will change us, so that our behaviors will not contribute to global warming or other things that damage our environment in this natural order that you have made us stewards of. Help us to conserve what has been given so that all may enjoy it for generations to come. This morning we pray for Carol, for Lauren, and for Claire. We pray for all those who are experiencing illness and are in recovery. We pray for those, dear God, who are experiencing financial instability. God, we lift up all those workers who are striking and seeking change, not just for themselves, but for their families. We know it is difficult to do in the heat of the summer and in our community and culture, too. And so we are grateful for their witness. We pray for real change for all people. We have many prayers that are on our hearts and minds, and so we take a moment now to offer them to you silently. God, we offer these up to you, and we give thanks this morning for all the ways that you touch our lives, for the small joys and the great ones. We remember the birthday of Richard Settle. Even as we mourn his passing, we are grateful for his liberation from disease and pain, and we know that he is home with you. Grant us grace during times of joy and times of trial. Help us to walk the path that Christ laid before us to enter into the collective work of building the beloved community. We thank you for Jesus, his undying love and compassion, and we offer you the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Guys, something's different today. Not sure what it is. Might be my haircut. No? Welcome to church. It's good to see everybody. How are we today? Good? Great. I put on the blue lights so you'd feel the coolness of them. Did it work? No? Okay. If you need air conditioning, you can go right up these steps into the gym. For anybody who, for some reason, gets overheated, please do. All right, let's start with checking in. Let's put up the QR code for check-in. This is the phone activity. Scan that. If you would, drop your name in there and any prayer requests that you may have. We get those every week and pray over them, so please share those with us. Next Sunday, Kevin talked a little bit about it, but I've been talking about this day for 3 months. It's one of my favorite days, and it's the barbecue, but it's also the kids' water day. So we're going to be, both churches are going to be here after we're done here, so at 12 o'clock. Pastor Mark's coming over. He's actually going to do the sermon for us at 11. And then we're going to have Dan Cox is going to be back. And he's going to be, him and all the volunteers are going to be in the kitchen making a delicious picnic for us. And the kids are going to play on two water slides, I hear now. So it'll be amazing. Couple more announcements. United Women in Faith Group, they're hosting a Habitat for Humanity build. So if you are interested, you can scan that. All of these QR codes are also going to be on the welcome table out in the courtyard, so if you don't get it right now, you can get it later. But the build is Saturday, August 26th. There are some spaces available, so that is open to anyone. And of course, we talked about the backpacks today. It was very nice that we already started getting some backpacks in. So please bring those anytime through August up to homecoming, which is the 17th of September. And then a couple quick more notes, AIDS Walk. If you want to be on the team, please scan this QR code, sign up, real easy. There is a special lunch and learn that AIDS Project Los Angeles is going to do for us on August 13th here after church. So you need to be signed up on the team to be able to be a part of that because they are providing lunch. So please do that if that is interesting to you. And then one quick note got added Tuesday. So that big fire that happened next to Richard's home in Hollywood. We're collecting furniture on Tuesday between 3 and 5 p.m. Or any home supplies because people lost everything in the fire. So if you have any, please bring them to church. We're going to put everything in the gym. And then after 5 o'clock, people are going to come that need these supplies and pick them up. So that is happening Tuesday, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Like I said, all this stuff you can pick up at the welcome table. So please see me after service in the welcome table. We're going to have some delicious treats out there as well. And all that we do, all the events, the barbecues, the outreach is made possible by you with your prayers and your presence and your service and your financial gifts. So as the ushers come forward and we put up a QR code for electronic giving, please give as you're able so we can continue to do ministry here in the heart of Hollywood. Thank you very much.
reading from the Episcopal of James. My brothers and sisters, do not claim the faith of our Lord Jesus, Christ of glory, while showing partiality. For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here in a good place, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand here," or "Sit by my footstool," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs to the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor person. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into courts? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God.
Well, got my little Madonna mic on and my Beyonce fan going, so I should be okay. Good morning. Yes, Hollywood, and we also have Harmony, Toluca Lake. Those that weren't able to go to the service project are watching online, so everybody's here. So you may be saying to yourself, shouldn't he be sitting over there? Well, not today. It is interesting the path God allows you to take, and to be honest, me standing in this fancy pulpit, when I walked through those doors 15 years ago, never, and I mean never, crossed my mind. Today it's top of mind. Well, thank you for being here, and this is my first time giving the message, so it's going to be on the movie Jesus Revolution. Now, this is a movie I personally picked. It is a smaller budget film based on a true story. Anyone see it? Okay, a few. I hear it comes out on Netflix tomorrow. Focus feature. I'll give you the giving QR code. All right. So this film really spoke to me as a kid who grew up in church, as a new waver in the late 1980s, yes. Look at all that hair. Man. Sitting on a roof somewhere. Okay, so let's take a look at the trailer real quick. But please, if you would, while you're watching this trailer, keep in mind the scripture from James we just heard.
Hey, Square.
I am not a square.
I think we should invite Greg this weekend.
What's this weekend? The
mountain is high. What are we doing, Southern California?
These people are hippies, rebels against old-fashioned authority.
I think these kids need help.
They need is a bath.
You're passing judgment on people you know nothing about.
Maybe that's why your church is so empty.
When God walks in here, brings me a hippie, I'll ask him what it's all about, because I do not understand.
This house has a very good vibe. There is an entire generation searching.
Slow down, man, slow down.
Just in all the wrong places. If you want to reach my people, you need to speak to them in a language they understand.
If I bring them in, I'm going to lose my job.
We can only walk through doors open to us. In your church, that's a door that's shut.
Probably noticed we have some guests here today. I'd like you to meet my new friends. Welcome.
They don't belong here. Half of them aren't even wearing shoes.
They're staining the new shag carpet.
They need our help. If you feel like you're misunderstood and judged, you will find forgiveness and freedom right here.
That was awesome.
Now that door is open any time of day. And if there are some who don't like that, well then that door works both ways.
All right, Pastor, let's begin.
I was almost done with this, but then you did what nobody else would even dare.
this thing that we found. I feel like I belong.
You're gonna need a bigger church.
Our country is a dark and divided place, but now there's hope and it's spreading.
This is your home, and I want you to tell all your friends about it.
Boil down the first part of the movie, and that's really what I'm going to focus on, the first 40 minutes of the film. Now, I'm not going to get into, there's many different stories in the film and also some stuff about Calvary Chapel, but what I'd like to focus on is this critical decision that Pastor Chuck makes in 1968. This movie really focuses on just one year, so I'm going to break down just a few of the pivotal scenes again. So the movie opens with Pastor Chuck Smith, who has a struggling congregation of about 25 people in Costa Mesa, California. And like with many pastors' kids, especially the ones I grew up with, Chuck's daughter was pretty much done with church. One of the opening scenes, which we just saw, is Chuck and his wife are sitting on the couch watching the news. And the news is doing what the news likes to do, stirring the pot. The news is focusing on this new youth movement that's changing children into peace-loving, drug-taking rabble-rousers that are going to destroy our way of life. As Chuck is watching the news, he says out loud to his daughter, "When God walks in here and brings me a hippie, I'll ask him what it's all about, because I don't understand." Well, the daughter quickly throws some shade and says, "Maybe that's why your church is so empty." The next scene, the daughter is driving, and she picks up a hitchhiker on the side of the road. We're assuming from his look is a hippie by the name of Lonnie Frisbee. One notable thing about his look, though, is he's wearing a cape that says "Jesus hearts you" on the back of it. So Lonnie proceeds to get into the car, and with a huge smile on his face, he asks her if she knows about the way, the truth, and the life. And with a huge smile on her face, she says, "Oh, you're going to have to meet my dad." Well, you guessed it. That first meeting didn't go well. But it was very hard for Chuck to not be curious about this Jesus-loving hippie. They began a conversation about Lonnie's quest for God and what he had gone through to get to this point and how his generation has that same quest, but so many of them are turning to drugs to find God. Lonnie says to Chuck at a pivotal part of their new relationship, "This generation is chasing hard after lies. And the trouble is, your people reject them. So I ask you, Pastor, how can they believe in one they have not heard? We can only walk through doors that are open to us. And your church, that's a door that's shut." Chuck becomes very affected by this statement. So he invites Lonnie and a few of his friends to church. Chuck even invites Lonnie to get up and speak a little bit in front of the congregation. And some people only notice that Lonnie's not wearing shoes. Well, this did not sit well with some of the longtime members of the church. And they begin meeting with Chuck, telling him, "Those hippies do not belong here." Well, that did not deter Chuck, even to the point where he invites Lonnie to stay with him at his house. But little did he know that Lonnie would invite others to live with them, including a band called Love Song, which is one of the first contemporary church bands that began in Chuck's living room. Chuck even let the band play at church, and with this band came more and more hippies. Now, several of the old members were getting very upset. "They are making our congregation uncomfortable." And Chuck says something very important that stuck with me when I was watching the film. He said, "Maybe that is my job, and I just haven't been doing it." Another complaint is their bare feet are stinging the new shag carpet. So the next Sunday, you see Chuck with a long line of barefoot kids waiting for Chuck to wash their feet before entering the church, and he welcomed them, each person, one at a time, with a smile, and washed their feet. Now, this scene really affected me for two reasons. One, feet are not the favorite part of my of anybody. But it is such an act of service to wash someone's feet, especially in biblical times. It was very rare for anyone to have clean feet. See, Chuck was trying to make everyone happy, but he realized this would be impossible. He'd have to make a decision. So Chuck sits down in front of his congregation that is divided, the left side, all of the old members, and the right side, packed full of hippies. He proceeds to tell all of them, "This place is yours. This is your home. There is a place for you. The door is open for you. And for those who don't like it, the door is also open for you. It works both ways." Well, a couple very angry people get up, give him the evil eye, and they leave. But the best part of this scene is the oldest guy, who you think is going to get up and say a horrible thing, gets up, looks at Chuck, and he goes and sits in the middle of all the hippie kids and puts his arm around two of them, and he says, "All right, Pastor, let's begin." Lonnie leans over to Chuck and says, "You're going to need a bigger church." Man, isn't there joy in drawing the circle wider? I mean, look at this picture of Kelsey Grammer. He captured it so well the moment his character realizes he has done the right thing. Now, I just want to read a quick note about Calvary Chapel's history from their website. It reads as follows. "But the hippies' passion for Jesus and their love for their neighbor broke through. The church kept growing out of its building until the property on Sunflower and Fairview in Santa Ana was purchased, and a circus tent was erected that expanded to fit 2,000 plus people in attendance." That's like three of these, the sanctuary. So just a quick little history lesson. Do you know what early Christians were called before the word Christian was a thing? You know, Jesus didn't call himself a Christian, right? Early Jewish followers of Jesus referred to themselves as the Way. They were followers of the Way. Now, I love this picture from the movie, because every time the hippies would say something about the Way, they would point upwards and look, and as if they're looking at Jesus. And it became an actual thing for this church congregation to do in its earlier years. Quick little pop culture side note. Do you know who else follows the Way? Mandalorians from Star Wars. This is the Way. So earlier followers of the Way, for almost 100 years before the Bible was ever written down, would sit around and tell stories of Jesus. Usually most of them living together in a very commune-style arrangement with very little money, and they shared everything they had so they could all survive. It's very reminiscent of the hippie culture of the late 60s. Now, the reason this movie hits home for me is it reminds me of a little church in Hollywood you may have heard about. I know I'm preaching a little bit to the choir, both literally, because they're in the front row looking at me, and figuratively, but this film reminds me of the early 90s when this church opened its doors a little wider to the LGBT plus community, especially people living with AIDS and HIV. This is why our Red Ribbons of Love documentary is so important. Here's a picture from our documentary showing the group of people putting up the original red ribbons on the bell tower. It wasn't easy. Some people were upset. Some people left this church. But the leaders of the church at the time decided that maybe it is our job to expand our ministry into the uncomfortable. Maybe drawing the circle wider doesn't mean it's easier, but let's do the work. I want to take two things we've already talked about today and put them together. Chuck's opening statement saying he doesn't understand the hippies. And the last line of our scripture verse from today, which is a letter from James, who, if you don't know, is the believed half-brother of Jesus. If you really fulfill the royal law according to scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. I want to underline that the word love in this scripture is not an emotion. It is a verb. It requires you to do something. Jesus did not say, understand your neighbor as yourself. Have their life make sense to you. I hate to tell you this, but their life isn't about you or me. It's just about loving your neighbor regardless of who they are, who they love, or your perception of their life. You see, my experiences are very different from your experiences. Even if we experience the same event, it's like going to a movie with a group. There'll always be someone who loved it and someone who hated it, even though we watch the same exact thing. Let me apply this to my life as well. And I'm going to talk about the transgender community for a second because our current topic of conversation, but which, by the way, trans people have been a part of our human experience for many, many, many generations. This is not new. Yet, especially this year, it seems to be hot fodder for the news cycle, and certain groups are being downright hateful because they don't understand. Look, I personally don't understand what it's like to experience being trans, but I can still be loving, affirming, and supportive of people who are without any sacrifice to my life. And if it makes you or me uncomfortable, let's do the work. Read some books, do some research, ask some questions, do the work of loving. If you really fulfill the royal law according to scriptures, you shall love, remember, action, love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. Simple. Do the work. A quote from our church member, Polly Perrette, from our documentary goes as follows. One of the cruelest things you can do to someone is tell them they can't have a relationship with God. From our scripture today, have you not made distinctions among yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? See, we're not asked to judge or understand one another. Those are really self-centered actions. We're only instructed by Jesus to love one another. There are at least 18 different verses in the Bible about it. In 1993, when we were putting up the red ribbons of love, Lonnie Frisbee died of AIDS. Now, this is something the film did not cover. And I don't want to get into all the things you can Google about it, because there's a lot. The unfortunate thing is that in some of Lonnie's last writings, he believed that God was mad at him for decisions he had made, and that's why he had HIV. I want to play a one-minute clip from our documentary of Rev Cathy talking about Reverend Dick Clemmer. So if we could do that now, it'd be great.
One of the names on that plaque is the Reverend Dick Clemmer. Dick was the pastor of the largest United Methodist Church in New Mexico, discovered he had AIDS. He was removed from his position, his orders were stripped. So he came out here to Hollywood. In 1990, I gave birth to my first son. Dick was very sick at the time. I wanted to baptize my son here in this church where I'd been married. So that September 1990, Dick Clemmer baptized my son James. It was the last baptism or sacrament he ever performed before his own death. And we held vigil at the hospital for him night and day at the end. We took off our gowns, we held hands, we sang around his bedside, and we sent him into glory because we know where he is. The power of his life and of his ministry is why we're doing this. This is why we're retelling the story of the Red Ribbons, so that we won't lose the power of their stories and their witness.
Man, Lonnie was only at this church during the last part of his life, what a different perspective he would have had. Rev Clemmer and Lonnie, both men in vital ministry of God, both with secrets. The power of his life and his ministry, the power of their stories and their witness. It's all that really matters, doesn't it? All of us have extremely different life experiences. We all have some level of hurt or trauma. We all have secrets, but God can do big things with our human, sometimes messy lives. God can use any of us, whether you're Lonnie Frisbee, Reverend Clemmer, or just you or me. We can all make a difference in this world. This is an actual picture of Chuck and Lonnie at the beach where they would have baptisms, doing the work. An odd couple, to say the least. But what an impact they made. It all began the day Chuck realized his job as a pastor was to stretch people into uncomfortable territory. And it was time for his church to start doing the work of loving others. Hey, maybe we're not all called to lead a movement of Jesus-loving hippies, but we are all called to love our neighbors. Amen.
When I die and they lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the Spirit in the sky. Going up to the Spirit in the sky. That's where I'm gonna go when I die. When I die and they lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. Prepare yourself. Again, prepare yourself. You know it's a must. Gotta have a friend in Jesus. So you know that when you die, he's gonna recommend you to the Spirit in the sky. He'll recommend you to the Spirit in the sky. That's where you're gonna go when you die. When you deny and you lay you to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. Never been a sinner, I've never sinned. I've got a friend in Jesus. So I know when they lay me down, gonna set me up to the Spirit in the sky. He'll set you up to the Spirit in the sky. That's where you're gonna go when I die. When I die and they lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. Gonna go to the place that's the best.
Thank you. Thank you, choir. Oh my gosh, I requested that song. I was scared. I was going to play the tambourine just a little bit more, but I decided not to. Some just quick thank yous for today. Pastor Bridie, thank you for making this amazing late 1960s altar. By the way, this record is from our church. The Freedom Ringers used to be a big bell choir in the 70s. They tour around the country, so found some albums if anybody wants one. I'll get it to you. Also, thank you to Suzanne. I think I saw her today. She made some sweet treats for us, as well as this would have been Richard's 77th birthday. So Deb and Dave's grandchildren made some cupcakes for him that they're going to share with you as well in the courtyard. So have some of those special cupcakes. And also, it's Rance's birthday this week, so tell him happy birthday. All right. My little prayer for you for this week. May God help keep your eye on the way. Do the work of loving others, especially the ones you don't understand, and experience the joy of drawing the circle as wide as you can make it. And remember, Jesus hearts you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.